Hey guys, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other favorite shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 20,000 shows, including How Did I Get Here, Fresh Air, Nerdist, television shows that you can hear the audio of, including 60 Minutes, right to your smartphone or pad. You can find it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. Start streaming now. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
John, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Taylor Wilkins from the band Otis the Destroyer returns to the show. They have a brand new EP that came out last week. It's called Belushi. You can find it on iTunes, on Spotify, and of course at otisthedestroyer.bandcamp.com. And of course, you can always pick it up at their live shows, their sweaty rock and roll live shows. One of them is happening this Friday, March 11th in Austin at Hotel Vegas. They're playing with one of my favorite bands, The Octopus Project. I suggest you get out. Do that Friday, and they're doing a South by Southwest official showcase on Sunday, March 20th at Javelina at 12 a.m. Get out there and see Otis the Destroyer. They're an amazing band. Taylor and I have a great conversation. I love talking to this dude. This is like his third time on the show, and we talk about everything, the restructuring of Otis the Destroyer and how they sort of like went back, rethought what he was doing, got some new guys, went in with Frenchie Smith, recorded Belushi, brought it out to the people. Now he's out there playing. There's actually a great thing you can find online at the Good Music Club. My friend Lori Gallardo from KUTX has a show called The Good Music Club, and Otis the Destroyer was recently on there. Go out there and check that out. They are absolutely fantastic. What a great band. My conversation with Taylor is coming up in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. Had a great week last week. Zuri and I got to go to Stay Gold and see Daniel Eyes and the Vibes and Emily Bell and the Talkbacks. Great show. Great show from both of them. I want to congratulate Daniel for getting the Black Fret nomination. He's a nominee to win the big cash prize that they have at their gala coming up in December. So congratulations to those guys. If you want to see who else are Black Fret nominees or find out what Black Fret is, it's a nonprofit. It's out there. They give grants to musicians, big grants, $10,000, $15,000, eventually trying to give $25,000 to bands. So go to blackfret.org and check that out. And congratulations to Daniel Eyes and the Vibes. Got back to work with Skyrocket on Friday and Saturday. On Friday, we played in San Antonio at Sam's. Great show. Great audience in San Antonio. Very involved. Very into it. Very excited. And then we played the Texas Veterinary Association President's Ball in San Marcos on Saturday. Fantastic private show. Crazy dancing going on. They had a light-up dance floor. And they had a lot of vets out there dancing, having a great time. Speaking of having a great time, I am playing on Thursday, March 10th at the Volstead Hotel Vegas anniversary. It's their fifth anniversary. A lot of people are playing Sweet Spirit. My friend Joseph King is coming down. My friend Casey McPherson is playing it. A lot of people are playing it. So if you live in Austin, come on out to that. I think I play it around 8 o'clock, and I'm playing at the Volstead. I'm playing solo. And then, of course, on Friday, March 11th at Hotel Vegas, you can see my guest today, Otis the Destroyer. They'll be playing with the Octopus Project, putting on a great show, as always. Get out to otisthedestroyer.bandcamp and pick up their new EP, Belushi. Have a great conversation with Taylor Wilkins coming at you right now. I hope that you guys all have a great week. Maybe I'll see you Thursday at the Volstead. Or if not, maybe you guys will see Taylor and his band, Otis the Destroyer, on Friday, March 11th at Hotel Vegas. All right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you guys all have a great week. Enjoy my conversation with my friend Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer. Let's get down.
Drown yourself tonight.
did you name your album Policeman? Is that a dog? That dog's name?
No.
It's on the front of it?
That's Otis.
Oh, okay. Right, right. I knew there was a dog. I just thought there was like a dog theme.
Yeah.
Like everything. Like the Otis is a dog. Yeah. That's just straight up John Belushi or Jim Belushi. You could be a fan.
Yeah, well, I actually came about because I started, recently Otis had a lineup change. We changed bass players and drummers. We had Clellan and Hyatt and Kyle Robarge come in.
I like that Kyle.
I love Kyle. I mean, we played together in the couch.
He plays in, right. He was, that's where I met him.
Yeah.
Was when you guys were on here.
And now he's doing My Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I think the Calm Blue Seas plays every once in a while. I think the Murdochs are starting to ignite the fire again. So he's a busy man, and we're lucky to have his talents. But basically what happened was when Otis, about, I guess, 6 or 7 months ago, I just started a side project because Kyle and I were talking about playing music again. Cullen and I had known each other for a while, and we're like, let's jam. And it was just this really impromptu, let's get together and write some songs, not a big deal if nothing happens. And we called that Belushi.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, some stuff happened, you know, nothing too dramatic, but basically Judd and I, who had been playing music together since 2007, started The Couch and then started Otis as kind of like a fresh start. We both kind of thought maybe this is the time to split, you know, and we're still super buds, but like, you know, we were just like, we've been doing this for like 7 years. Let's go separate ways, still stay in touch, talk all the time. You know, he hit me up today and was like, love the EP. It sounds great. So like, it was a positive change. There was some not so positive aspects of it, but honestly, it was a really cool transition because, you know, it was like starting a new band. Kyle and Clell and I got together and it was just the spark immediately. We ended up practicing like multiple times a week and it didn't affect Otis negatively, but it made me realize that there was something in Belushi that I wanted to notice, which was that thing, that spark, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it happened. I asked them if they wanted to come on as Otis the Destroyer. They were, you know, we were like, heck yeah. We took some of the songs we were working there, took some of the new Otis tunes, took some of the ones that have been working on for a while, and then just restarted Otis the Destroyer. And actually, our guitar player, Rucci, stepped off for about a few months. I wanted to see if we could do it as a three-piece. Him and I have this really awesome understanding with kind of like, we're just bros. He's down to play, you know, whatever guitar parts we come up with together. But I was like, hey, I want to see what it sounds like as a three-piece. I hated it. It's like I missed the extra guitar rock.
It's a lot of work, man. And you've got to sing and play guitar.
It's a different arrangement.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that him being gone, it was like, oh, wow, I miss him so much. So he came back after like two or three shows playing Otis as a three-piece. And, you know, then we just started hitting it hard. And then we wrote the EP. We wrote 11 songs for the EP and then chose four.
Right.
Yeah.
Chose four good ones.
Thank you. That was the best part of this whole process is before Otis changed lineups, I had been talking with Frenchie Smith for a long time. I was like, I want to do an EP with you. I want to do an album with you, but I want to do an EP first, kind of get the toes in the water kind of thing.
I hung out with him one night. Not him.
Maybe
I hung out with his girlfriend at a show.
Leslie?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good people.
Yeah.
But,
great people. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we had like 11, 10 songs ready, and I was like, I don't know which ones to pick. He's like, well, pick the 10 best ones you got. So I was like, okay, cool, because we have 10. And we went in there. He's like, just play the whole set live, and then we'll pick the four songs. And I was like, that's a great idea, because, you know, in all the other recording processes, you pick a certain songs to record that day. But, you know, like, every song has a different personality. Every day has a different personality, and some days those personalities don't mix.
Yeah.
And so I think we found the right vibe, the right set of songs that worked for us for that day, the set of days that we recorded with them. It was a 3-day period, like mixing, mastering, and all that stuff. It was great. It was rapid fire. And it was all about what felt right, what felt good in the moment, And so I think that EP really reflected kind of the live show, or if you're catching a really great live show.
Yeah.
Because you're catching us really vibing on it.
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of vibe on there.
We had, it was, and he's amazing to work
Frenchie.
With. I mean, he's like,
yeah.
His arms are waving. He's, you know, he's like stepping outside to smoke a cigarette and coming right back in and being like, all right, let's do this. Like, it's like being on a raft in the middle of a river and you're like, it's just always kind of crazy. And he's steering the boat in an incredibly hands-on and hands-off way. If we need to work on something, it was like, hey, let's just hammer this out. It wasn't like, this sounds bad, we need to fix it.
Yeah.
If it sounded good, this sounds badass, let's keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it was very simple, very direct, good communication, amazing process.
Yeah.
Never recorded a record like that.
Wow.
It was...
He's like reinvigorated and re-inspired and just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy has got more rock and roll in his pinky than I will ever hope to have. And yeah. He lets you kind of whiff his fumes, rock fumes, and you just, like, you get high on this, like,
yeah.
We can do this. Like, fuck yeah, let's write a rock record.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he really added a personality to it that I think was incredible to experience. Because it was like, we were all looking at each other in the middle of tracking, you know, no red light fever. It was more like, fuck yeah, fever.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I feel like it's really great that people are starting to respond to the EP in a way that it makes me feel like that was a valid experience. Because we were hoping that people, you know, would feel that experience through the recordings.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you do. I mean, it comes off. It's loaded with rock and roll vibe.
A little scary the first time we listened back to mixes. I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There's no hiding.
No. No, and it's something that it's cool because you're not sort of like over expanding the songs through production.
Mm-mm.
And bells and whistles and shit. Like that, that's what you're going to get when you go see this band live.
There might be
a few. Not a lot of that going on.
No. We wanted to bring the production at a reasonable level. Yeah. I mean, we can always add a fifth member, right? Add the, you know, a little bit of the keys, maybe double a harmony. But I think that the core of the songs have to work before any of that matters. Like, you can write an okay song and do a lot of production on it, and I think that you could sell it to people, but I always am subscribing to the idea that if it sounds good with an acoustic in your voice,
yeah,
and it moves you,
yeah,
all you need is the band.
I was brought up like that.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, brought up, we would go see people, like a Dan Fogelberg or something.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing a solo acoustic thing. And I'd be like, oh, Mom, this is so boring. And then she'd be like, dude, this is the deal. Like, when you do this, you're a fucking Jedi. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you're doing it. If you can do a song like this with no one else around.
Yeah.
Except your guitar or piano or whatever,
I mean, the human voice is I feel like that's the thing that makes or break that kind of setup. With
how do
just...
you, when you sit down and play, like, you come up with these songs, and you're saying that you retroactively you go back and play them on a guitar, and it's the song's still good, or you write them like that? No.
No, it's I mean, usually it's written like that.
Really? How do you, what is that? How does it fucking energize? Because I feel like I have to, like, I can't really play an acoustic guitar and write a rock song. I used to, but now I feel like they're all like,
Well, it's a back and forth, right? Yeah. I mean, the song idea is there. It feels good on an acoustic. I bring it to the practice space. Obviously, we do a phone demo. I bring it home and just start really working on it.
Yeah.
My philosophy is, before I bring it to the guys, I want to be able to play it and kill it. I want to inspire them to play the song, you know? So if it's like, I learn all the lyrics, the chorus, you know, I don't write the whole song out in terms of the bridge and how some of the interconnecting parts work, but the soul of the song.
So you sell it.
I want to sell it.
Yeah.
To them. Yeah. I want them to be like, fuck yeah. Instead of like, all right, well,
yeah,
see what goes. And so I usually, you know, like when we're in the writing process, it's three or four songs. And in that moment, like I was talking before, like if the vibe isn't there, if the personality of the day or the vibe, the song isn't working with what we're feeling, then fuck it. We'll come back to it. The song's not going anywhere.
Man, if that's like a lesson that if everybody knew that, bands would stay together forever because so many people are always trying to shove a square peg into a round hole
yeah.
for hours.
I mean, sometimes that works. Like Tom Petty, you know, there's always stories of him being in the studio for 24 hours straight doing 2,800 takes of the same song. That's inspiring, but I think that's because he knew he had a song, and they knew they just needed to find, you know, there's a difference.
Like Jimmy Iovine, too.
Yeah.
Like his being a... Ugh. Shit sounds great, though.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to doing a full album with him.
How are you doing this now? You release this EP. It's out. Okay. So now, when you do South by Southwest,
mm-hmm.
do you what are you looking for? Because you got a showcase.
Yep. I think you know. The showcase I think is at Javelina Bar on the
Sunday.
Saturday.
What's the 20th? Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a Sunday.
Is
that's
it?
Weird. Yeah, it is. Yeah, because I'm playing in Houston on the 19th.
Oh, shit.
That's Saturday.
Well,
I mean, look, if people are going to come see you, they're going to come see you.
I'm not, you know, honestly, at the risk of getting exiled
exactly.
from South
I know
South
what
by,
you're saying.
But you
yeah.
know, yeah.
yeah.
There are a lot of good shows during South by. And maybe the showcase won't be one of them, but there will be plenty of opportunities. I think what we want to come out of it is with a booking agent.
Okay.
Because I think for us, we're a live band. I'm super happy the EP works, but I really want to use that EP to get people to want to come see us live.
When was that I saw you? Like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, which is good because...
A while back, a year and a half.
You know...
It's great energy on stage then. What Bowie song did you do that night?
Moon Age Daydream,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that song.
Me too. Okay, so you're looking to get a booking agent. Do you have a manager?
Yes, Amir. Yeah. He's a great guy, but I think the booking agent's the most important thing. He doesn't have a lot of things to manage if we don't have a lot of shows that are, you know, I think the goal is to do support acts, you know. Even if it's for a few $100 a night, we'll open for any big-ass band, but any band that wants to have a band open for them.
Yeah.
You know, I think small clubs, getting right in people's faces, I only need 30, 40 people there to be inspired. So we have reasonable expectations and high goals, you know.
What kind of bands do you see? Do you see a lot of bands out there nationally that are kind of your ilk?
I think
that you could jump on with. Is there?
Yeah, I mean, there's this band Bully, which I think is great.
Oh, I love those guys. They've been on.
So. You know, I think kind that, yeah. I mean, she's.
They're doing great.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, I think you know, female male fronted rock, whatever, any kind of rock would be awesome. I know that we are playing a kind of not like a trendless music sort of. It's not the coolest thing to be playing right now, but I think there's plenty of people out there that love it.
You're playing a style of music, though, that your music goes back to, like, to me, to Johnny B. Goode. Like, you're just basically, you're doing that now. Not the same chord structures or anything.
Yeah.
But there's this energy and kind of this thing that does come around all the time.
All the time.
Whether it's the Black Crowes in the 90s.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know... the Strokes or the Alabama Shakes.
Oh, incredible.
Or the
band.
Black Keys. Like, there's a just like, you know, it's like chords like A and G that you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like energy.
Absolutely.
And like, I'm playing.
You know, it's funny you bring up Johnny B. Goode, but Chuck Berry. Because it's like, I was talking to Frenchie and I was like, you know, I'm getting really into Iggy Pop. Lust for Life is like, my jam, Raw Power is I'm obsessed with.
It's the same thing. It's rock and roll.
But he was like, oh, that's just Chuck Berry on heroin and cocaine. And
yeah.
I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, you know, usually 1-4-5, but in the most epic, raw, energetic way.
Yeah.
I think, you know, definitely. There's this, I feel like there's a wide gap. You have music that is emotional, but in a different way. You know, it's like indie rock is usually not very like overtly passionate because then it might get into a little emo rock.
Right.
And then you have metal, which is like pure passion.
Yeah.
To a point where, like, I feel like it's almost like white noise. Like, it's so much passion that I can't hear it in all the screams because it's just the same scream.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, like, I love a lot of metal, but I'm not a metal enthusiast.
Right. It doesn't start. It's like when all the, like, Vince Neil kind of singers started coming out, and they didn't realize that what Robert Plant was doing was he was getting to that high singing place, but he was starting at a place, and it was a place he went and then came back.
Absolutely.
And those guys just started there and stayed like at this.
Yeah.
Hey! You're like, dude, stop.
I've always thought that. I've always thought that it's all the haters.
That it's all, Robert Plant's fault.
Yeah, everybody, because he came out and it was just like, I've never heard a guy sing like that in that type of range.
Right. Well, and it's just like that. That same stuff. For some reason, I can tear apart hair metal because I just really don't like it.
Yeah.
And like the guitar players, they all played the like Eddie Van Halen did, but he wasn't doing that all the time.
No.
Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It was taste.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way.
And
I
it
feel
was
like.
Also people are drawing from a broader spectrum. Like a voice can take you to that place, not just like. Just like all the time is just like,
yeah.
Where are you going? You're not going anywhere. It's no dynamic.
It's weird too, and it's always contextual because like in punk too, it's like there's not a lot of vocal dynamic, but I love punk way more than I love metal.
Yeah,
or what I would call punk. Obviously, we all have our
yeah.
Own
what
definitions.
Do you? Yeah, that's a touchy.
I won't even go there. I'll walk outside and just get beaten up by a few gutter punk kids. No, I got really into stuff that was maybe it was a little bit melodic, but it wasn't pop punk like Anti-Flag, you know.
Right.
And maybe now if I listen to that, I'd be like, I don't know what I was thinking, but at the time it was my jam.
Well, I remember like when I was 7 years old or eight years old or something like eight or something when the Sex Pistols came to America.
Yeah.
And we lived in Marin County. And the only radio station we really got was this college station. And so me and my friends always had it on like when we were playing in the background. And like the first time they played God Save the Queen, like that wasn't like aggressive. Or we thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like we were always like, oh man, I hope they play that song again. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
That these guys, you know what I mean?
It.
And then, I don't know, then like people like The Clash, it seems like a lot of people were, punk was a place that they started from and then went to it. Because you can't sustain that level.
No. The Clash, you know, some people argue they weren't punk. People argue that there was supreme punks.
Right.
I think that obviously that the band is amazing. Like you can't, whether they're punk or not, you can't fuck with The Clash.
No.
Like you can't. Like the song integrity, the stylistic variations and everything, the reggae, the rock. They're a band that I think, you know, a lot of bands want to be. You know, a lot of bands want to have probably eclectic songs, but they realize that they're better served having a focused sound. You know, you can't all be Beck.
To me, that's totally punk, though, to be like The Clash.
It
to
is.
Really, there's no barrier.
It's like, I don't care if you think this is cool or not. We love this song. This is a good song.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Jazz. It's not really, you know, Jimmy Jazz. It's not really a punk song, but it is a punk song because of the way that they approach the song, the attitude behind the song.
Right. Well, Train in Vain. Yeah. Jesus, that's a pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could talk about The Clash all day.
What else? There's 80s punk guys, too. That's where, like, I lose.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because a lot of it is real. I've never been like a political guy of music.
Neither.
Like even when I've been political, I haven't really mixed my things up.
I don't know if I'm intelligent enough to write a witty.
That's the thing is like some guys have done it and they're so smart that like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's always that story of Bob Dylan getting sick of writing protest songs because he was so good at it, but because he's just tired of being a protest songwriter, and it's like everybody would love to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
To be able to hook you with lyrics. I mean, I'm honestly not a big lyrics guy. I mean, I've been reading some of their reviews for the EP, and they're like, oh, it's talking about strained relationships. And I'm like, I wrote Fight about the day after me and Sarah got in some stupid fight because we were both wasted. And it was like, it was a moment when I was like, I want to capture that moment because it's hilarious in hindsight. We laugh about how stupid the things we get in fights about when we're drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not like a drunk couple, you know, it's not like...
it's not like Barfly.
No, not at all, but it's just like... And then people are like, man, like, does Sarah kind of... How does... I was like, Sarah helped me write the words to Cheetah. Like, I've never been so deep. Like, that was her.
Yeah.
And so when people find that out, I think they think it's kind of funny because, I mean, that's, to me, the more rock and roll thing is to sing about stuff that is real, you know, but is also kind of in a ironic, funny way. Like, yeah, we got in a fight, but this is not a big deal. I don't hate you. I want you to die. But going back to the original point, I'm not a big lyrics guy. Like, I'm more about whether they fit for a melody.
Yeah.
I'm okay saying something cheesy if it sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that even The Clash were like that, you know, some... Yeah, all the greats.
Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I'm in
Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, they write songs that sound like with words that sound good being said and not really like if they make sense or not.
Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah.
I am an American, what is he? Aquarium drinker?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe in touchdowns or something. Yeah, he's
drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible lyric. I have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
My favorite lyric of all time, though. I mean, I say I'm not a lyrics guy, but I love a lot of lyrics. I just don't feel like I have the ability to connect with people like the greats. Bob Dylan's "The Ghost of Electricity Howls in the Bones of Your Face."
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's insane.
He could be the only line that dude writes, and I would still think he's a genius.
Yeah.
But anyway, like the lyrics on Belushi, they're all moments in time that can be funny or sad, whether or not you look at them.
Yeah.
So
there's a weird thing. There's like this thing about being able to write personally enough, yet ambiguously enough at the same time.
Absolutely.
So that someone hears it and it's their story and not just yours.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
It's very hard to do. My friend was pointing out this interview with Killer Mike where he was talking about how not all... Like, he was talking about gangster rap. He's like, all gangster rap artists aren't really doing all the things that they say in their song. They're singing about the context of their culture.
Right.
It's like... And I think that's the same thing with, like, some of these rock and roll songs. Like... You're not really hooking up with hookers, and you're not really doing blow every night. But if the line works like that, it's a good story.
Yeah.
And I think that first and foremost, this is entertainment. So I would hope that people listen to lyrics from the Belushi EP and be like, you know, this is relatable, but it's also kind of funny.
You know,
baby, I'm a cheetah. Maybe I'm a cheetah, which could be a cheater or a cheetah.
Yeah.
But I want to be your man. I mean, it's not like supposed to be poetic, but it's supposed to be like, oh, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I could see where I see what he did there.
Yeah,
you know. So,
you guys are both like getting good press at the same time.
Oh, you and Sarah and I.
Yeah,
I love it. We just share each other's articles.
Yeah. I was seeing that, and then I was thinking to myself, like, what happens when it's not balanced?
Oh, I mean,
are you guys? I mean, you seem very supportive, but
yeah, of course.
I can only, you know what I mean. It's so sensitive.
There's realistic jealousy.
Sure, there's got to be.
But I think obviously we both know that. I think the one thing that would be like the biggest like boom, or the biggest thing that would happen that might be difficult to somebody walking in.
But hookers, my blow guy. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's Super Tuesday, so actually, I gotta get amped.
Tuesdays is when I re-up for my stuff.
Yeah,
actually. But Sarah, I think if one of us went on a really long tour, I think that we could handle it, but I think that would be the hardest test. I think getting press and like seeing each other's bands start to do well is super encouraging, but I think that, you know... Obviously, that the true test is whenever we start hitting the road for long times, and I think that initially we'll do great, but you know, that's the situation I feel like for most touring musicians and most people in relationships who do this thing, that's the make or break. You know, I know plenty of people who have been in steady relationships and tour starts happening, a lot of tours, and it's just kind of like, it causes issues.
Sure, you know? It totally fucking does.
I'm the dude in the band. She's a girl in the band. We are both in front. And, you know, the opposite sex plays a big part in selling merch. And I'm not saying it's all about her waving her ass around or me wearing tight jeans, but there's a realistic aspect to selling merch that has to do with being available. Not available to have sex with you, but available to talk to you without my girlfriend or me being her boyfriend standing right next to them.
Yeah, I'm being like,
yeah, like watch over. Yeah. Like, so we have this understanding that's kind of like, obviously it's super supportive, but we're humans. Like I get a little jealous when, you know, she gets something that we went for and didn't get. Yeah. But I'm also really happy.
Yeah.
I mean,
has anyone ever come up and like fawned over one of you and then looked at the other one and gone, "You were good too"?
Oh yeah. Oh man, yeah. Plenty of instances where I think that, you know, I mean, we respect each other immensely.
You have to have like some kind of just solid foundation going on to be able to weather those kind of winds.
I think it's just the strength of the relationship, honestly. Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's obviously a natural competitiveness to every band is competing with each other, but not really in a sense that, like, you want the other band to fail. You just want to do as well, you know. I think that most bands,
honestly.
Or just a little bit better. But even so, I think generally most people would be happy if we, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be fair to say, but if we all did about as well.
Sure.
In different avenues.
Yeah.
Right? We can't all get the same press, but also press. I mean, we did all the press ourselves this time. I mean, I've been lucky to work with Melissa Cox, and she did an amazing job with the couch. And Amber did some of the press for this last Otis EP that was great. But after a while, you realize that you know a lot of these writers personally. It's easier to send them an email and be like, are you interested? Are you available? And it saves you, you know, thousands of dollars on an imaginary thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Press is tricky.
It is tricky.
I'm super happy to have all the reviews, but at the same time, it's like...
Well, I mean, you know, it all comes down to having a good thing.
Having a
good songs, a good record. You know, and a good band to back it up. I mean, it's weird. It really just does. If you can kick someone's ass when they come see you play, that's always gonna trump. And people will talk about it, and press will come to that. You know what I mean? It's not like there's bands out there kicking ass, especially, you know, around here. It's not like LA or New York or Nashville or something where all the industry's here, but it's not like fucking Wichita, Kansas, you know?
I definitely am super thankful for all the opportunities we've had in Austin. And I mean, we've gotten opportunities that I felt were undeserved for sure. But at the same time, I think every band after you do it for a while, you realize Austin is a big bubble that in order to really succeed, you got to get out. Not like abandon. You just need to start hitting up.
You have to do that anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I
have a friend that had that philosophy from here, moved to New York. Ten years ago, and he just plays in New York too. You're like, dude, I mean, you got to go somewhere from where you are. The point wasn't just Austin.
Yeah.
It was like where you are, like get out and play, and tour.
In terms of location, Austin is almost in the middle.
It's a great place.
I think out of all the places that you can base a band to be able to tour, it's not bad. You know, Texas is massive.
And you've got great markets.
Yeah. Dallas, San Antonio, Houston.
Do you guys play any of those?
Yeah. I mean, we're actually doing 35 Denton. I'm from Houston.
Okay.
So we have some ties there. Yeah, we do San Antonio. Went to school there. So, I mean, we have ties.
Where do you play in Houston?
We played at Walters on Washington, and then it moved.
Yeah.
We played that location. We played Rudyard's.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald's.
It's the Houston.
You know, this
the Houston's.
The Mink.
Have you ever tried? Oh, yeah. I played the Mink.
Terrible.
Too. Yeah.
Our experience was... Sounds
is that the upstairs place? Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You guys ever play Continental Club there?
That'd
be a
to.
Great place for you guys.
I mean, the Continental Club here is a different, not as a much of a rock scene, but it's always been one of the places I've wanted to play.
Yeah, it would be good. People would love you there.
I mean, I feel like the Continental Club is prestigious.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of clubs in town aren't. I mean, the Mohawk is very cool, but it's cool in an indie way. Subs is a cool in like a mass market way. Antones is cool and in, I guess, revitalized.
But Gibbons is jamming with dudes at the Continental Club.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know Mike Flanagan, he plays on Fridays and Saturdays a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
been out playing with Gibbons now. Those guys, like, you go up there, man, there's like 8 people standing there watching the show. It's like Billy Gibbons and Jimmy Vaughn, like, playing with him. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not for long, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, every once in a while it happens.
It seems like you're doing some good shows coming up. You're doing Hotel Vegas with Octopus Project.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Volstead with Moving Panoramas. It's a great band.
It is a great band. We actually had to cancel that gig.
Oh, man. I'm taking it off. I was going to go to that because I'm off that day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Moving Panoramas is a great band, though.
Great band, right?
I mean, there's a lot of bands that I'm...
You couldn't do that show?
Oh, 35 Dentons that night.
What's that?
It's some festival in Denton.
Oh, that's what... Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing 35 Denton. I thought that was some kind of
in the middle of South By. It's a great festival, though, because all the bands from South By hit it on the way down. Because it's a week before.
Right.
Ish.
Oh, okay. So it's like the week before their spring break.
Yeah. But also a lot of bands come through Denton.
Right.
Well, a lot of perfect bands that we need to connect with.
Yeah.
That, I'm so upset. We tried to get a slot change, but, you know, booking shows. Always.
That's why you need an agent.
Yeah. Well, we do have a booking agent, but I think that we just need to, upgrade.
Yeah.
Because, I mean... We've been working with this guy, Devin. He's been amazing. But, we need to be opening for bigger bands to really expand our operation.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, yeah.
So coveted things. Have you ever had any songs placed on stuff?
No. I mean, we, Otis.
Get any songs on iZombie?
Trying to do that.
My friend Corey always
really?
has songs on iZombie.
That's a good show.
Is it?
Well, I mean, yeah.
I don't like zombie shows.
Really?
I don't know why. I just don't. It's just too many. Like vampires. Like, there's just too many.
Yeah, but The Walking Dead's pretty... I love it.
I've heard that's good.
It's so brutal.
What do you and Sarah, like, when you chill out and decide, like, okay, this is the night we're going to stay in and not get drunk and beat each other up? You're both so sweet. Like, I really do like both of you a lot.
Well, we love you.
I think very highly of both of you guys. You're both super talented and just, like... I'm glad that you're able to have a foundation of a relationship where you can, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think...
Because I cheer for you guys as individuals, as for your bands, but I also, I'm like, come on, guys, don't do this to me.
No,
don't
I mean...
Don't break up, you know what I mean? Keep it together, this is a hard jam, but you guys just seem to have a good handle on it.
You know, it's a tough one. I mean, we have worked really hard. The relationship is something that we've built together. And I think, you either get through a lot of rough times and you break up.
Yeah.
Or you get through the rough times and you're even stronger because you've gone through this experience together. You can look at each other and be like, we've had some serious conflict, but I love you so much. I'm going to get over this conflict because you're worth it. Yeah. You're worth you're worth the frustration. I'm worth the frustration. Whatever. It doesn't have to be, it's not always so negative. It's just like...
No.
But a relationship, you you bank on, obviously, that there are a lot of positive times. What really makes a relationship is how you act during the shitty times.
Yeah.
You know? I think the best thing that we have is that we don't talk to each other ugly. Like, we...
That's good.
Her biggest rule is, like... And I don't ever have this tendency to be like, F you, you be. But, like, she's... That's her number one thing. It's like, if we're going to argue, let's argue... You know, we can scream and yell, but, like, let's not cuss at each other, call each other names, you know, because once that environment happens, and I mean, I've been in a relationship like that before where it was, fuck you, asshole, and all this stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that would be hard.
You know, and afterwards, you feel so terrible, not about just the fight, but the way that you acted in the fight. At least in this way, it's a good, clean fight, so to speak, you know?
And then you don't have that weird, shameful, like...
Yeah, because...
Did I really dump that plate of food on the floor?
Did I really just call my girlfriend that? Like, you know...
Yeah.
But you talk to each other in a way that allows you to say it, allows you to be mad about it, and it's okay to be mad about it, but you're not insulting the other person. And I think that the biggest thing about fighting is understanding the difference between trying to really work through an issue and trying to outdo the other person by saying, you know... out shitting them, like, right. You know, well, you did this,
yeah,
and then all this stuff happened, and then you did this. It's like that doesn't, I mean, in a way, you're expressing all the
constructive,
it's not constructive,
yeah. And when someone comes to you with a grievance, and your thing is, well, you do the, you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is, I just asked for the floor so I could just say this, and let's deal with this, and then you tell me what,
But I think, you know, like I said, it's been. We are so much stronger now than when we started. We started on a really weird note. It was basically we were in a band, and then we decided to not be in a band.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a completely equal decision at the time. It became one.
Right.
And I think that, obviously, she's super happy. Lowen's killing it. You know, they're doing great things. They're actually demoing songs as we speak. You know, I feel Otis is doing really well. So it was a gamble, but it was probably one of the best gambles because I think it made our relationship something that was a realistic option.
Yeah.
Being in a band and dating, people who can do that, I have the utmost respect for, having the unique experience of having kind of done it and then not done it. But, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the kind words. I mean, we tried to support each other, and I think that we collectively are better for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, so you have a night off, then what do you...
Oh, yeah, like, sorry.
What kind of thing do you watch, like a show that you are into, or is there a movie? Are you horror movie people?
No.
Or do you just watch Walking Dead?
She hates horror. The Walking Dead is probably the only horror-esque show that we agree on.
Right.
The shows that we watch together are Vikings, Walking Dead, this show called The Magicians, which is coming out on Sci-Fi right now. It's really good.
It's good.
And then obviously the big ones, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
We're both obsessed with that. I have always been a little ahead of her in the book, so now that everyone is caught up.
Not me.
I'm not going to say
anything. I am 45 minutes into episode one, season one. Season one, episode one.
Do you know anything?
I know I'm not into wizards and stuff, but then whenever I'm like in my hotel room or something and I just happen upon it, or I'm changing channels here and it's on HBO or something, and I'm like, fuck, this is like the most well-produced
thing
I've ever seen. Like a giant guy and then like a dwarf, and like it doesn't look weird. Looks great.
It's a great show, but those are the shows that we watch together, and a lot of time... We have Friday nights are our date night, which is precarious because it's obviously a really popular show night. But, you know, we have this, obviously, understanding that music comes first. I think that's the thing that makes this relationship work, is that our bands, I mean, you would think that it'd be the relationship comes first, but it's the bands comes first because the relationship's so strong. So, if a show happens, it happens. But anyway, on Friday nights, usually we'll go out to dinner. You know, we like... kind of splurge,
yeah,
and just like really just hang out, put our phones in her purse. I mean, because, you know, both being the quote-unquote band leader, we're on our phones, god, 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
Email a Facebook message, retweet,
yeah,
hashtag that, you know. So, so it's, you know, it's great. We just try to disconnect and then just connect with each other. Well, I mean, but yeah, some of the best nights, we literally just sit on the couch, watch TV, order a pizza.
Yeah.
You know, because as a musician, you know that all we do is go out.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, I think my girlfriend is starting to figure out, because she's not a musician, and like a lot of times you go out, and it is fun to go out, but there's kind of a, also a sort of like, you know, I'm sorry I left you, but I had to talk to that dude.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy that whatever.
That could possibly lead
to I need to talk to, you know, because you do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And we try to go to places that aren't, I mean, so, you know, we sometimes, it's really nice when we can both just go see a show. But yeah. Then there's that, you know, you're talking, you know, networking. But a lot of times, yeah, we go to a restaurant. Like, we love the Hightower on 7th Street.
Yeah.
Amazing food. But it's quiet. There's, you know, it's got a good crowd, but it's not weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
it's private. So, yeah, I think we've really, the setting aside time for each other amidst both being extremely busy trying to get a project off the ground has been another thing that has really strengthened the relationship, because it's, you know, it's really great because all the noise is just gone. You're just focusing on each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, we see each other all the time, but it's like she's on the computer emailing.
Right.
I'm working on a demo.
Right.
So, but it's great. I love her very much. Yeah. Probably will marry her.
That's amazing.
Me. Yeah.
I think you guys are good for each other. I'm happy that that all of that is going well. Otis the Destroyer, but not of relationships. If this was an article I was writing for Rolling Stone, that would be the title of it. Someday I will write an article. So this gig at Hotel Vegas Friday, March 11th with Octopus Project. Who else is on the bill?
I believe Chipper Jones and Wild Child.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's... I mean, geez, that's a great...
Yeah.
That's a...
Super excited.
Yeah.
You know, big fan of all those bands. Different band, different genres.
That is really different genres. You got like ukulele kind of folk hippie people. You got rock and roll. You got electronic... Weirdos with stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I love those people so much, man. They're great. That's another nice couple.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Octopus Project.
I haven't met them in person, but they just seem sweet from everything I've heard.
They are. They really are.
Have you seen Chipper Jones?
No. Is that a good band?
It's cool, man. I mean, I'll be the first one to say I'm not a fan of loop pedals, but the way that those guys, they do loop pedals right.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know their names, but they're both incredible. Very groovy.
Yeah.
And then very big in post-rock. So it's really cool because post-rock isn't usually groovy.
I don't know what post-rock is.
Like Explosions in the Sky.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Big
yeah,
movement
yeah, yeah,
pieces. Yeah. And they do that really well. But they also have some really sweet loop jams. They remind me of almost like early White Denim when James they'd have like the Afro kind of beat and he would have these little jagged guitar lines they were real rhythmic.
What's going on with those guys? Do they have a new album and stuff? And
new album, new lineup. I think the guitar player and the old drummer are playing with Leon Bridges now. And James made, it was kind of a similar story. I would never say that we're like White Denim and that they're immensely talented guys. I could only hope to be at someday, but his side projects became White Denim.
Okay.
Or, I shouldn't say a side project. I don't know what he calls it, but Pop English.
Okay.
Bop English, not pop, sorry. Became White Denim.
I had those guys in here a while back, though.
Man, I saw them play at Hotel Vegas when they're doing, like, their Austin residency, which I think is a fantastic idea. They're just playing these small clubs.
Yeah.
You know, obviously selling it out because it's a couple hundred people cap. The last show at Hotel Vegas was awesome. Huh. I mean, I've been a fan of the band for a long time, and it's... I mean, like, there's not a lot of rock and roll bands in town, and I don't know if they would call themselves rock and roll, but they're what I would love to be like someday. Incredibly groovy.
Yeah. You guys are rock and roll.
Oh, I know, but
Leopold and His Fiction is rock and roll.
Oh, God, another great band.
Yeah, there's a great band. You know Lincoln Durham?
Yeah.
He's a one-man rock and roll.
No offense by the rock thing. It's just that Austin is not like a... I don't think anyone would come here and be like, this is the best rock and roll town. I mean, hopefully, maybe that would be someday, but...
No, you're right. That's true.
But it is nice to know that... And Think No Think, Megafauna, Boyfriends. I mean, there's definitely plenty of rock and roll bands in town, but...
I think that I see a lot of them doing this show. You know what I mean? Because to me, there's no really like electronic pop bands here in Austin, but there are. And DJs, because I don't ever get them in here.
That's true. Yeah. I'm supremely unfamiliar with that scene, with both those scenes. And yeah, that's the cool thing about Austin, though, is like there's entire scenes that I have no, you know, are hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not keeping a pulse on it.
How do people find where you're playing? Can they find it at the Bandcamp site? What's going on? OtisTheDestroyer.bandcamp.com.
You can also our Facebook page.
Your Facebook page has it.
You know, honestly, we haven't played this year alone. I think we've only played 6 shows, and it's just March. So we have a lot of stuff booked in March, April, May, June. That we're gonna start posting online.
What do you have the week of South by Southwest outside of just your
We have showcase? The 11th at the Do 512.
Right.
We have Shady Grove. I need to find the date.
You're doing a KGSR?
Yeah.
Unplugged at the Grove?
I hope it's not unplugged.
It's KGSR then?
Well, I mean, I think John Laird.
I don't think you have to be unplugged.
Okay. Because that would be.
I think that's just what it was. Maybe that's what it was called in the 90s. Because it's been around for a while. I'm still calling it by the same fucking name. I'm such a loser, man.
No.
I need to get hip, man.
Yeah, I do too. I need to figure it out. But yeah, we're playing those shows. Yeah. And then 35 Den on the 13th, which is out of town, obviously. But we have some other stuff working. We might play the McDonald's showcase. You know, Big Macs.
Oh, another McDonald's. They're coming back again to South By.
Yeah. So, I mean.
They really got a lot of attitude now that they're serving breakfast all day.
Oh, my gosh.
They really think they're the best.
You know, their salads are more fattening than their sandwiches.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why is it like genetically engineered lettuce or something?
No, it's like the all the.
Why do I think that's so funny?
I don't know. I just read this insane article and it was like literally it's like 500 calories more than a Big Mac, one of their salads. It's because it's got cheese, ranch, and all this crap. Croutons.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, this.
Those croutons will get you, man.
Oh, yeah. They're terrible for
Nickel
you.
And dime yourself right into fatness.
Oh, my gosh.
High cholesterol. Let me ask you this. their salads are more fattening than their hamburgers. Just sounds like something my dad would say or something. I forgot what I was going to say. So you put this out yourself. Are you putting it out physically?
Yeah.
Your CDs?
Yeah. I was going to get on the phone with Mike today and double check. But yeah, I mean, last time I talked to him, the order was going to be ready on the 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to do, I guess you'd do vinyl for this?
No, we're working on, I'm not sure what the company's name is, but this company's interested in putting out the EP on vinyl for free. It's just something, I don't know how that works. Our manager's kind of arranging it right now. But yeah, I mean, I think vinyl, I always wait to see how I like the album. Not just like the week after it's done, but like a few weeks.
Right.
You know, is this worth putting on vinyl? You know, yeah. Vinyl to me is like taking it to the next step in a way.
I feel like you're a band whose audience would buy vinyl.
I do too, and thankful for that.
Yeah.
Definitely is probably going to happen because I really still love the songs on Belushi. I'm sure, as you know, in other recording processes, you're like, yeah, I loved this song when I first wrote it. Now I hate it.
Yeah.
Literally is the worst song I've ever written.
You know, I feel like that about early albums, but then at one point, I pretty much like everything I did.
You learn how to filter.
Yeah.
You learn that you definitely don't record a song that you wrote the week before.
Right.
Well, it could be magical. I mean, you could, you know, but I feel like time is the best tell to whether you're going to hate your own songs, you know.
True.
There's been very rare times in my life when I've really not liked a song and had people really respond to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That would suck. To be that kind of, every song you hate is your number one hit.
Yeah, you see a lot of people sometimes with, they don't hear themselves realistically.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a tough thing.
Yeah, that's true. I used to not hear myself vocally realistically.
Now you do.
Well, I just learned I'm not going to go above this note.
Okay.
No matter if I can hit it once or twice.
Right.
You know?
Right. This is going to come out on Tuesday.
No, it's out now.
No.
Oh, wait.
This show. How did your album come out on Tuesday? Because now they come out on Fridays. Would you defy the laws?
Did we put it out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the biggest things that I forgot to mention about this. Our whole approach to what we're going to do for this band is we want to be unconventional. Because I feel like that's the only way to stand out. Like our bio says, come see us live, you cheap fuck. That's all the bio says. Which is a little off-putting, and we might change it. But for right now, it's the vibe that we want to give. Is that you're not going to read a paragraph about us and be like, holy shit, I got to go see this band.
I like that when you're in a heated argument with your girlfriend,
yeah. You
won't insult her. But the poor people that are trying to find out about your music are fucks.
Oh, I don't know if they're right.
At least you got your priorities straight.
Well, I don't know if we're going to keep the bio, but I mean, that's the attitude that we want to give is that, like, we want you to be a part of this, but I'm not going to sell myself on paper. You're going to have to listen to this or you're going to have to come see us live.
Right.
And I don't think you can sell any band on paper, but...
Bios are a weird thing.
They're ridiculous because they're mostly written by the band.
Or their
manager.
And the thing is there's different ways where you can try to be funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, how funny is, you know...
Yeah.
And then you want to tell a story, and so then sometimes they're long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the band story for me could go... It could start with The Couch. It could start with just this lineup.
Yeah.
Start with...
Because then you think about it, like, it's not like The Couch sold 20 million records
yeah. And,
like, launched your, you know...
Exactly. I mean, but it still is a part of the story.
That's how you got that gig opening for the Stones or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's...
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. The whole approach to this release, though, has just been kind of like, let's do it ourselves. Let's let the product sell itself. Let's let us sell ourselves by being honest.
Yeah.
You know, a dishonest bio, like, I don't know.
I don't think that's a bad bio because I just like, at least it's different. I've never heard of a bio that said that.
Yeah. It's just, like, why do you... I mean, I understand why people want to find out about the band, right? But if you love a band, there's I'm going to nerd out for a second, but there's okay. A game series called Dark Souls.
Okay.
And it's an incredibly hard game series, but the biggest thing about the series is they don't tell you the full story. You find the story out through finding little items or talking to characters, and it's all suggested, right? And, like... So it leaves this mystery, and I don't want to be like Tool, where we all wear masks on stage and you don't know what we look like, but right. I don't want to tell you every detail about how we became a band, because you don't need to know, you just need to listen to the music.
Yeah.
If you want to know, you can track me down at a show and try to ask me.
Or
listen to this podcast. Yeah.
I mean, this podcast is like... For you, could be like a 4-hour bio if we edited them all together,
your
appearances.
That's true. Remember when you asked Sarah and I if we were Fleetwood Mac-ing it? Did we lie?
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you were like...
you guys Fleetwood Mac-ing it?
Yeah, and it was, I think, before we had been public about the relationship.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I can't remember if we lied or not.
You lied on my show and I let you back on. Look at that. Well, people can pick up this Belushi. You can get it on iTunes. You can find it at Bandcamp. You can find it on Spotify.
Yeah, Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Google Play. Yeah.
Where do you see where most of your music gets picked up from?
I don't. I mean, this being our first EP that we've really pushed, I mean, I don't think you can find Dark Arts anywhere but iTunes
right. And
Bandcamp. So yeah,
I've never had anybody come up to me and be like, dude, man, you got to check out this album on Google Play.
Yeah.
Like no one's ever said that to me ever.
I think this one is just I couldn't imagine having to upload all these to all these distribution sites.
Yeah.
Or
I
whatever
think
there you
people that do just one like TuneCore and people
we just
like
did
that.
TuneCore. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you did.
I mean, it's easier and it's great because the album is $4 on iTunes. which I thought it was a dollar a song, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Is there anything I'm missing, Taylor? You're an awesome guy.
You're an awesome guy. No, I think that covered it. I always enjoy being on the show. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you'll be on again.
Yeah.
I wish you a lot of success. Hopefully I can make it out to a show. I'm sorry that you aren't doing that one on the 13th. That actually makes me sad because I was like, oh, I can go to that.
I know.
So we'll have a great show in Denton. And people can find you guys at otisthedestroyer.bandcamp.com. You're on Facebook and Instagram.
All that stuff. Yeah. Our Twitter is Otis Destroyer.
Otis Destroyer.
Because you can't make... I guess we can't have three more letters in our name, so...
Otis Destroyer. Yeah. Thanks for being on there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer. Their new EP, Belushi, is available. You can pick it up on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify. And, of course, you can always get it at otisthedestroyer.com or at any of their shows, including this Friday, March 11th at Hotel Vegas with our dear friends, The Octopus Project. And then, of course, Sunday, March 20th, their official South by Southwest showcase at Javelina at 12 a.m. Get out there, find them. Pick up Belushi. It's such a great EP. And while you're out there on iTunes picking up Belushi, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. You can also subscribe on Stitcher if you like to stream your podcast. You can find us on all the mediums. Just look us up. New show every Tuesday, every Friday. Pretty prolific. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. And you can like our Facebook page. How did I get here? See a photo of me and Taylor hanging out. All right? Let's hear another song from the fabulous EP Belushi. Available now. Came out just last week. Pick it up. Do it. Otis the Destroyer, amazing band. Thank you to Taylor for coming by. Thank you to everyone for listening, okay? Have a great week. Let's get down.